Thanks for tuning in to Faith Church Podcast. We're a church that believes in getting people connected, seeing families grow, and lives being changed. We hope that this message will speak to you today. It was all in our hearts, and I believe you're going to love it. Let's get to it.
We're going to have fun today. I want to talk to you about sharing your faith. Actually, all this stuff really will help you, especially if you're in sales or so on, how to win friends and influence people. And people are only one ask away from, you know, really a life change. And again, not trying to get people to go to church, because that's not the goal. The goal is to make sure people understand that there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. The Bible talks a lot more about hell than heaven. And last week at our church in Palm Beach, and by the way, you should go visit there sometime. It's an auditorium just like this with this many people. It's an amazing place. And there was a woman I was shaking hands at the end, and she came and she said, "Hey, I hated that you preached about hell today because I hate to talk about hell. And I just want to let you know that there is no literal hell. We're in hell right now." And I said, "Man, you're confused. You're in Palm Beach. Come on, somebody. I mean, how many of y'all know that is not hell? I mean, people go there because it's nice." So I said, "It's not hell." Then she said, "And I also want you to know that God doesn't send people to hell. There was no hell because God couldn't send them there." And I said, "Well, God doesn't send people to hell. People send people to hell when they deny Jesus is the Lord, or they say there are multiple ways to heaven." So I'm not here to try to start an argument with anybody. So I want to kind of engage with you that Jesus wants you to be a preacher. Everybody shout that with me. Say, "I'm a preacher." Now look at your neighbor and say, "Give me some money." Come on, Zoe, go ahead. All right, so we're supposed to share our faith. Now, preacher just means a communicator. You're communicating. So communicating your story makes a huge difference in the life of other people. In fact, in Genesis 6:14, it says this: "So make yourself an ark of cypress and wood and pitch it on the outside." God's giving instructions to the man of God how to build an ark where people could have a boat of safety. But look at verse 14 one more time at the top. It says, "Make yourself an ark." Everybody shout that with me. Make yourself an ark. Not just a boat. Make yourself. Make you an ark of safety. In other words, people come to me oftentimes because I am a preacher and we've advertised me as that, and they'll say, "Hey, I'm going through a hard time. Can I talk to you for a second?" Or, "What happens when this happens?" Or, "My wife died," or, "My husband died," or, "I have cancer." They'll come to me. I have made myself an ark or a place of safety, a place of refuge for people. However, if you're a true believer and a Christ follower, and you are, you want to make sure that you're leaving a legacy, that you're making a mark so people understand what you stand for. Now, I certainly like to preach for stuff, not against stuff. That's why I get invited to all kinds of stuff that I believe in, but I won't go because I preach for stuff, not against it, because people can get the wrong idea. I want to make sure that people understand that this church and me and my philosophy is I don't like to judge people. Wherever you're at right now, you might sin differently than me, but we're all sinners who are saved by grace. So it's a no judgment zone. It's like Planet Fitness. I love it. It says no judgment zone. That's my plug for Planet Fitness, because the owner goes to our church. Come on, somebody help me right now. Make sure that you're sharing your faith. Make yourself an ark. The Bible said, "How shall they hear except they have a preacher? And how shall they have a preacher if one's not sent?" So it doesn't mean that, you know, you're in charge of getting people saved. Me, you're in charge of telling people and sharing with them your faith. Because there really is a place that people spend eternity. The Bible said there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. He said there's, you've heard this one, there's a wide road that leads to destruction. There's a narrow road that leads to eternal life. The wide road and the narrow road. So that narrow road is Jesus. Jesus is the way. So we have to share that. And not like you're an attorney debating. You'll find people that want to debate stuff. "I don't want to debate stuff. What about this? What about that? What about the other?" Just, you can divert that. So I'm not here to argue about that. I'm just here to tell you my story, because your story is undeniable. You know what the Lord did for you. How many of y'all, God's done some pretty big things for you, and you're surprised at how good he's been to you, and he saved your marriage, and he brought you from a long way, and so you just share that. Not in a preacher way. It's not like you got to go into dinner and go, "Oh, the Lord has brought me from a mighty long way." You ain't got to do that. You can just start sharing your story, because people want to know your story. Then also, play the long game with people, okay? You're not saying, right away, maybe a person at work, you're like, "Man, I'm all fired up. I want to invite them. I'm really concerned about them. Bob's going to hell. I know he's going to hell." So you're coming, you go to lunch with Bob. "Bob, I want to go to lunch." Bob goes to lunch with you, and by the end of the lunch, you go, "Bob, I'm here to ask you a question. Do you know where you would spend eternity?" Would it be heaven or would it be hell? If you were to die today driving down Highway 270 and a cupcake truck hits you, God forbid an Anheuser-Busch, now InBev, hits you and it knocks you. Come on, somebody, see what I'm saying? I'm going to count to one, Bob. I'm telling you right now. One, do you know where you'd spend eternity? I'm going to give you another second, Bob, just you and him at a restaurant. Two, come on right now. Do you know beyond a shadow of a doubt right now? Three, Bob. Come on, Bob, raise your hand. How many of y'all know that is weird? Some of y'all are weird. Just go with me on that. Shout, that's weird, okay? You're just doing life with people. You're just talking to people. So I'll give you real life scenarios of things that I do. Here's a conversation that'll work great, especially for salespeople. You ever been at dinner with people, maybe on a date, maybe with people you don't know, and so you're like, man, there's awkward times. You don't know what to say? Write this down. This works jim dandy. This is how you get a girl to marry you. This people want to talk about themselves. And their favorite subject is themselves. That in fact, while you're telling your story, they're thinking how they can tell you their story. And they're not even hearing you. So just screw that and just talk about them, because that's what they want to talk about. So here's a question I ask. If I went to dinner with you, I'd ask this question. So what's your favorite place to go on vacation? Blah, 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 blah. Let me ask you another question. What would be the coolest place you think you'd go on vacation if money weren't an object? Oh, well, I would go blah, 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 blah. Oh, you don't say. That's unbelievable. And then now it drops, and now they're done with that, and they won't ask you. So what's your favorite place to go on vacation? Don't even worry about that. You just have your questions. Next question you ask them. Who would be a person that you would love to meet? Like some famous person or maybe not famous person? Who would be somebody like on your bucket list of people that you want to meet and why? Okay? Who and why? They'll say, well, I want to meet Bill Clinton because he can talk himself out of anything. I did not have sexual relations with that woman. I just love Bill. The whole Democratic Party is unbelievable. And somebody else is like, I love Trump, man. He's just unbelievable. His hair flying, building a wall. I love Donald Trump. It's unbelievable. And so you go on that too. Okay, so you listen. You're not here to judge them. You're just hearing them. And they're talking and talking and talking. And by the end of this conversation, now you're just done. You're not trying to close anything. Now you hang out with them again. Here's what it looks like in real life. Last Saturday night, I had the ability to watch the harvest of that game I just played with you. Now, I play that game on long games or short games. Starbucks, if we were there, remind me to go back to that story in a minute. You don't act like you're going to remind me. Come on, this is a sermon. You've got to help me help you. All right, so if I'm at Starbucks, we're in line. I don't know you. Most people are like this. It's a great time, by the way, to make your living robbing people because they'll never see you coming. They're just like this going to the car. So I put that down, and I'm looking. What am I doing? I'm just making relationships. Guys next to me, how you doing, man? I'm good. Life's not long, isn't it? Yeah. Have you ever thought about taking those coffees that are pre-made that people have done, like their pre-orders, and you go, it's a long line, and that's close enough? Now the guy's like, it's kind of a good idea. Now he's talking to you. And then he goes, oh my God, you're that guy on TV. Did you see me on Cops or America's Most Wanted? Which one? Oh yeah. And then the next thing you know, he's in church. That's how I got half our staff. Come on, somebody. When I get those guys, then they go to Hooters and get the rest of the staff. But that's a whole other thing. What am I doing? I'm winning friends and influence of people. Now they have a conversation with you. So that long game played well with me. This last Saturday night, I'm at dinner with a guy who is Jewish. Don't allow people's faith to keep you from sharing your relationship with Jesus. We're not trying to get him to join Baptist church, Pentecostal church, Catholic church, Lutheran church. Our church is 70% Catholic and Lutheran, by the way. That's why every once in a while I'll go, we don't go to Hooters. We love Starbucks. All you have to do is sing-song it, right? And that was fun. I was just joking. Catholics and priests, they love me. Some people are like, oh my gosh, I'm offended. I'm just kidding. Now, I would have said I didn't mean it, but then you would yell back. And then it would be disingenuous. We've been together a while, gang. You guys know how much. So now I'm at dinner, and the guy says to me, in front of another friend that I've been working on, this guy over here is almost 80. You stayed at his hotels. And his wife just died. This guy over here, I've been working on both of them. Not that weird close, just loving them. And then the beautiful thing happens. The one guy says to me, I met God. I met God. I met him. this incident happened and that happened and God appeared to me in this dream, and all of a sudden, David, the stuff that was important to me is not important to me anymore, and the stuff that wasn't important is important. And he's sharing this story, and he's like, then I woke up from the dream. I'm like, God, give me a sign. And I turned on the television and there you were again. I'm like, oh my gosh. And then I'm like, my wife's like, no, you're crazy. And we got in the car and we never listened to Christian radio, and it happened to be on Way FM, and there you were. You're like, this is Pastor David, and I want to invite you to church on Easter. And I knew that God changed my life. And now he's saying, God, God, God. And I'm saying, that's the way Jesus does. Not just God. It's the way Jesus does. Now the other guy sitting there looking at it, kind of jabbing at it a little bit. But then it got real. And he said, I have a question. Well, my wife died the other day. I've been married to her for 50 years, and I've never seen this face that she made. She made this face, and the only way I could describe it, it was looked like demonic. She was like a demon on her face. And I asked the person in charge of his religion what it is, and he said, oh, that's the face sometimes people make when they go through purgatory to pay for their sins. Number one, you do not go through purgatory to pay for your sins. Jesus is the only one that can pay for your sins. You do not pass go. You can't go to church. You can't give tithe. You can't jump high. You can't try to not go to Hooters. Come on, somebody help me right now. You can't. It's by the grace of God, lest we boast. It's all Jesus, nothing but Jesus. He is the only way. And you don't have to talk to me to talk to him. You don't have to talk to the church to talk to him. He's your God. He loved you. He died for you. Say it, pray it, wheel it, deal it, make you feel it. Play the long game. How was the vacation? Who do you want to meet, right? Now, at the end of that conversation, how do you handle that? I don't want to judge because I don't know who went to heaven and who goes to hell. And you won't know either until you get there. I know this, that I do want to go to heaven, but I want to be alive so long my friends in heaven think I went to hell. But then when you get there, you'll be surprised who's there and who's not. But it won't be over merit. It won't be over money. And it won't be over ministry. It'll be over the spotless blood of Jesus. He paid a debt he didn't owe, and we owed a debt we could not pay. And that's why on Good Friday, we don't just go to church on Easter. We go to church on Good Friday because that's where Jesus bled and died for us. And if we had to quit our job, we're worshiping God on Good Friday. Come on, somebody ought to give God praise. So here, watch this. I know there's a lot of details to this, but it's not just scripture that I'm trying to read you. I'm saying, make yourself an ark. It is Luke 14:23. The Lord said, go into the highways and byways and compel them to come in. Luke 14:23. Go into the highways and byways and compel them. Make it compelling. They have to like you before they like their God that you serve. They have to love you before they love him. People want to know that you care, that you're concerned, that you're friendly, that you love them, that you're praying for them, that you're not judging them. So, I'm making it compelling. So it's time to close up, right? It's time to go home. And I told my friend, hey, how'd you get here? My driver brought me, but he's going to come later. So let me take you home. Why? Because now he's asking these questions about his wife. This means me and him are in the car alone. It's Saturday night. I'm going to church in the morning, and I'm about to close him. Come on, somebody. I'm really close. So we get there. The valet brings the car up. We shut the door, and I'm asking more questions. Hey, tell me about this. Tell me about that. Tell me about the other. We're driving. I'm driving slow. We're doing 20. Come on, somebody. Going home. We're going home. And I said, tell me about that commercial, you know, and how that worked out at the end when you first started, you know, that hotel. And he said, well, we had 3 seconds left on the spot. So I said, just say, and we'll leave the light on for you. Oh, that's just great. So that was just phenomenal. And so tell the story. And then when he's getting ready to leave, open the door, he said, can I ask you more questions about my wife? I said, yeah. And I said, you know, Joe, ultimately what you need to do is you just need to talk to Jesus, and Jesus will give you a revelation of heaven, and you realize that heaven is where you want to go. And I just want you to know that this Easter, you should come to church with me. And he said, do you think it's too late for me? And I said, no, Joe, it's never too late. If you were on your deathbed and you did all the wrong things and you never did anything right and you just called upon the name of the Lord, you don't have a bulletin, you don't have a receipt, you didn't get baptized, you just call upon Jesus, he'll be there. So he said, you know what? I'll have my driver bring me on Easter Sunday morning. And I said, you'll be sitting right next to me. And know this, most of the people that sit right next to me are the worst heathens in the world. I always put them close to me. So if you're like, who is that person?
I'm just telling you that they're usually bad mama jammas. Come on, somebody. It's like people you don't want to mess with. You know what I'm saying right now? It's like, hey, and then it'll get in the papers and it is pastors with this person and pastors with that person. Yes, because Jesus hung out with the people that needed Jesus. I'm not here to go after the 99. Somebody help me right now. I'm going after the one. I'm talking gay, straight. I'm talking right, heterosexual. I'm talking about Democrats. I'm talking about Republicans. I'm talking about attorneys. Come on, somebody help me right now. I'm talking about everybody that I know. I'm going to play the long game with them because friends don't let friends go to hell. And I want to go to the highways and byways and the hedges and compel them to come in so that God's house can be full of people loving God, because we're not here just to say, bless me, feed me, help me. I want to be in a small group. This is my little club. No, no, no. We have a big city to reach, and every empty seat is a big deal to God because it's somebody that did not go to heaven. Somebody help me right now. And you have to make sure that your friends don't have that look on their face when they die, because we don't want people going to hell. And for the people that say that they don't believe in hell, let me know how that works out for you. It's not good. Now, one another thing that I do is I actually litter parking lots. And yesterday before I left Palm Beach, I did this. Check this out. All right, Faith Church, I am here in West Palm Beach, Florida, on this very site where Nicole used to always kind of tease me a little bit. While she was in there shopping, you know, about 4 years ago when we started down here, I would always litter this very parking lot right here. She'd go to Bed Bath & Beyond and so on, and I'd be out here putting flyers, flyering it up. And she asked me one day, why are you doing that? Come in the store with me. I said, you know, I have compassion for this city. I feel like if I'm faithful over the little, God will make me rule over the much. Maybe, just maybe, if I litter all the parking lots I possibly can, God will give us a billboard someday. And guess what? He did. There's a bunch of them, but one of them really is kind of interesting because it's right there. All right, the sun's kind of bright. It's hard to see, but the fact is, I didn't intend when they were buying billboards all over St. Louis that someday we would put them in West Palm. God had increased our territory. I certainly didn't intend on this one being straight across from the parking lot where I would always fire it up. It just happens that way. Come on, give it up for Faith Church being evangelistic. So, when people say, God, give me a sign, they leave the bar in the middle of the night and they see the billboard, it's a sign. It costs money, but it's a sign. When a little band member showed up, Vince Vaughn, at West Palm one morning, and he was standing in line with about 60 people to shake my hand. Obviously looked like a rock and roll star. Didn't know who he was, but he told me the band. I still forget, Motley Crue. He said, I got a little band called Motley Crue, and I'm like, I don't know who that is. But everybody's like, you don't know who it is. That's what we do. I'm talking about the up and out, the down and out. Everybody needs Jesus, and we must affect everybody. And that's why I don't want us to ever be a judgmental church. Don't ever look at people and go, man, I would witness to them, but they're this. I'd witness to them, but they look like that. Listen, God made everybody, and he made everybody kind of unique. And then some people are actually just looking for attention. They're not that way at all. They just dress that way or act that way to try to say, mama didn't pay attention to me, daddy didn't pay attention to me, somebody pay attention to me. So you just love the heck out of people, and that love draws them to repentance. By the way, you get what you brag on, not what you nag on. So this works in all areas. You don't like what your wife does? Don't nag on it. Brag on something else. You don't like what your kid does? Don't go, he always, she never. Always be like, man, I love it when you do that. I love it when you do that. Because people are attracted to people that love them. Why? Because the love of God draws them into repentance. God loved us a bunch. So we're supposed to make sure that we are making disciples, preaching and teaching and telling people about Jesus absolutely everywhere we go. Mark 16, verse 19. 16:19. Media team, thank you. After the Lord had talked with them, the disciples, he was taken up to heaven, so there must be a heaven. He was set down at the right hand of God, which is where he's at right now. And the disciples went and preached everywhere. Verse 19, and the disciples went and preached everywhere. So preaching, again, is not a sermon. Preaching is just doing life. Letting people know what you stand for. Reaching out to people. People say, well, I don't really want to tell people about that. They're going to think I'm weird. They already think you're weird anyway.
Well, they'll think I'm a Jesus freak. Well, you're a freak for something. Be a Jesus freak. There's no better thing in the world than standing up for something. People love me. I get invited to cool parties. People really like me. And everybody knows I went public with it. Television, radio, billboards, everybody knows. Oh, there's a Jesus guy. There's a guy that loves God. There's the guy that's not going to judge me. So then if I went to dinner with you and say we went to, not Hooters, but Fridays. And if you walk by the bar, any bar with me, I promise you, our staff will tell you, two or three people come from the bar and they'd be drunk.
I was so surprised to see you here. I watch you all the time. Can I get a picture with you? Can I get a picture?
And so I'm like, oh, absolutely. Now I try to bring some people with me because sometimes it's a girl with her boobs hanging out. Like, I want a picture with you. And I don't want that on the internet. Like, I'm sniffing a girl's hair. Come on, somebody ought to help me. Not always say, bam, here it is. But I'm just here to tell you today that everybody everywhere knows I have a reputation for not being a judgmental person. I've got a reputation for the message that Jesus really wanted us to convey. There was a man that had two sons. And the one that went out and spent all his money on riotous living and hookers and drinking and found himself in the pig pen, the father was looking for him and he saw him afar off. We need to see people that are far off. And he brought him and invited him to the house of God. And then he put a ring on his finger and a robe on his back. And that's the glorious good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that sinners just like us, far from God, are just one ask away. They're one prayer away from affecting their life because everybody needs somebody to love them, invite them, and pray for them. Preach him everywhere. Everybody shout, preach him everywhere.
Preach him everywhere.
Shout it again like you had breakfast. Preach him everywhere.
Preach him everywhere.
My dad taught me some of this stuff. He was shy, but he forced himself out of his personality. And when I landed yesterday, I actually went to his gravesite, and I wanted you to go with me. So check this out. You know, as soon as we landed today from Florida, it was important to me that we got here to the cemetery where my dad is buried to talk about that dash in the middle. You know, we've all got those Oreo cookies, and what are we doing with the middle part of our lives? I can tell you, it's very surreal to me to see my name here because eventually, hopefully no time soon, my name and your name will be on a stone like this. And there's going to be born in 1969, me, I don't know when you were born, and then that ending date. And that dash in the middle is what we do with our time here on earth. I think about my dad and how we live just a few blocks away from here. And whenever he needed his car worked on, he always went to this local Shell dealer. And the owner there, I can tell you his name, but I won't. He was always witnessing to him. He was kind of in a long game with the guy. And the guy was somewhat respectful for my father being a minister. But a lot of the mechanics weren't. They were always razzing him and telling dirty jokes or cussing, trying to get him upset. And he never would let him affect them. He was like, no, it's no big deal. You guys would be good preachers. I could preach for it. You could preach against it, whatever. And they would laugh. But he affected that guy. Near the end of that man's life, he actually called my dad and wanted my dad to pray with him. And my dad actually came out here and did his funeral. And then just a few years ago, out of the clear blue, I meet a girl at church. And she says, I'm so-and-so's daughter. I was just a little kid. Your dad used to come to my Shell station. I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't believe it. Yeah, of course I know you. She said, our whole family has been affected by you and Nicole because we watch you on television. And we were interested in you because we knew your dad. See, my dad really used his life to change people's lives. That dash today that you hold, that cookie that's good, we could put those cookies over our eyes and not share it. Be like, this is my life. How would it make me feel? I don't want to talk about religion. We're not talking about religion. We're talking about a relationship with Jesus. What are you and I going to do? Every time we see Oreo cookies, we need to think, what are we going to do with that dash in the middle? That's the question. So I have these Oreo cookies, which are really good. How many of y'all like Oreos? Raise your hand. How many of y'all are just too lazy to raise your hand? Phenomenal. And when I was thinking about the sermon, I was thinking about this middle part. So you got the day you were born. How many of y'all were a cute baby? Raise your hand. Raise your hand really high. You must have been a beautiful baby because you sure are ugly now. You heard that song? I didn't mean it. Mate. The day you're born, you got this middle part. That's what you're doing right now with your life. You're leaving a legacy. You're making a mark. You're making, like all of us, some good decisions, some bad decisions. But ultimately, you know the one decision that you had to make, but are you going to go through life and not make the other decisions to win other people? And you got the day when you stop living here. on this people planet. So you're not on the people planet anymore, but you certainly still are alive, because we're alive forever. The Bible said to be absent from the body is to be present with your Lord. Your Lord, either Jesus or the devil. There was an old song, and I wouldn't know this other than my dad, but there was a guy, I forget his name, it might have been Joe Cocker, but the song said, you're going to have to serve somebody. It may be the devil, it might be the Lord, but you're going to have to serve somebody. So you have to serve somebody. So the day you're born, then you start, what do you do with this middle part, and then the end? And so actually, I've got these Oreos. I think the ushers, for the people on the front row, you should sit on the front row and you get these. Don't you wish you would have sat on the front row? Come on. This is so good. Wow. But actually, I'm just kidding. It's like Oprah. Everybody gets Oreos today. They're in the back. You get an Oreo. You get an Oreo. You get an Oreo. Everybody, for real. They got cookies and milk there. In fact, that big bag... I actually want to give some of these away, too, for the people that sit in this section. You guys look like you got low sugar. Try some of that right there. This is what's cool about this is there's plenty of Oreos. You know you want one. Start serving the people. Can you catch? Can you catch? I know Race is going to... I'm going to give three to you because I love you and your dad so much. Actually, I can't count. I was a homeschooler, but there's more than you need. Come on, anybody else? Somebody's like, did you wash your hands? Let's try to, anybody? Open your mouth. Come on. This is crazy. I've never done this, but I like this. People are, couldn't get a say, man, all that. Over here, over here. Over there. Open your mouth. See what you can do. Can I do this? Come on, just play with me, man. Right here. Try. Oh, my God. He did it. It came out, but he got it in. Come on, give it up. To the God. You want some? See, there's plenty of salvation. There's loads of it. God just needs somebody to spend this little kid. Come here. Come here. You're so cute. Come here. I'll give you some. Yeah, you in the jacket. We got time. I got 2 minutes and 59 seconds. Come here. How many of you want? Hurry. Your face, you just look kind of like, preacher, I love you. Do you love me? Do you love the church? All right, just get in there. Get some. Why just one? What about your family? Do you love your dad? What about your mom? What about your brother? Come on. That's what I'm thinking. Right? Oh, look at that. Now she's going. Come on. There you go. Please. Come on. Nobody. This kid's going to need security. Come on, somebody, on the way to the car. I see some real estate. The other one over here. Over here. You have a phone?
I do.
What are you, five? Come on, somebody. They come from the factory with a phone? Okay, you're good. Now take that. Be careful. How cute is she? Unbelievable. Share it everywhere. Tell everybody. Everybody go to Oreo and get double stuff. Be like, I'm using a lot of my life. Because really, only what matters, we lost the whole role. All you're like, man, I wish I had a cute kid. Look at your kid. Like, why are you so ugly, Chucky? You look like your mom. Oh, man. Your dad really does love you. He just has an eating disorder, Chuck. But see, have fun with it. People want people to have fun. People don't go to church because they're like, I'm telling you right now, you're on your way to hell. They get a mean look. Don't cuss, don't chew, and don't run with girls that do. And they wonder why they like Joel. I like to get started with something funny. Right? Because you sell the good news glad. Happy, not mad and sad. We got the greatest thing in the world. We got Jesus. We got salvation. We got freedom from hell. And that's also why we should go to church and worship. And we should bring our kids to church and worship. And we should go to, come on somebody, a worship service and go. I go to church on time because I love Him. And sing songs about Jesus at home. And it'll come like this one. I give myself away. Oh. I give myself away so you can use me. I pray that prayer. When I go out to eat with people that I don't know, hellbound sinners, because that's who I go out to eat with, When I go to eat with them, I say, Lord, use me. God, use me today. Allow me to say something that would affect them. God, please, don't let me say anything tonight that would make them feel judged or harmed. And then you find yourself in the middle. I love being in the middle. That's why I don't like talking about politics. Because they're all screwed up. I knew they were screwed up when Nancy Pelosi and those guys called me for advice, and I went up there. I knew it's bad. And then the Republicans did the same thing. But I believe we should pray for all people. And we should be stuck in the middle. That's why I don't want anything to divide us as a church, as a nation. The enemy's always trying to divide us. He's trying to break it and separate it and destroy it. Jesus has said, I came that you might have life. So just love everybody. And this church embraces everybody. And whatever you're going through, you're going to go through, but don't go through it alone. Get in a small group. This is a big church to maybe some of you. I don't know that little girl, but I love her and I see her and I guarantee you she loves me now. But I want to know them, but they need to make sure that they're getting connected and you need to connect with each other. That's why today when you go out and eat your cookies, just don't just eat it. Look down, look up, because you know you got something in common. You go to the greatest church in the world. And you got the greatest pastor. She'll be back Sunday. Come on, somebody. She's just in L.A., but she's coming back. So you share that. What's funny, though, at the water cooler, you all be like, so what's your favorite place of vacation? Try some other lines on each other. But just be you. Last but not least, as I close, you got to be you because nobody can be a better you than you. And when you try to be somebody else, people can tell that it's not organic. It's not real. By the way, I do eat organic. I would never eat that crap. I did it for effect, but I'm like, man, my body's like, don't ever do that again. Good God. So, I just have to be transparent. See, it was just me. I told you the whole truth. As you're doing your life, though, just do whatever you do. Just take Jesus with you. You ride motorcycles, tell people about Jesus. You bowl, tell people about Jesus. Whatever you do, do it with the angle of bringing people to church. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Nobody looking around. Please, nobody looking around. And online as well. Maybe you're here today and you go, speaking of this whole Jesus thing, I need to know Jesus. I need to pray that prayer. I knew Jesus at one time and I was living right, but I went away from God and I need to repent today and get right with Jesus. I'm not going to ask you down, but I am going to ask you to raise your hand, and here's the reason why. The Bible said, if you deny me before the Father, I'll deny you when you come to heaven. So I want you to slip your hands up bold and proud if you say, I need you to pray that prayer with me today. Come on, don't let it hesitate. Raise it up high. I want to see that hand. There's still a few more. Just raise it up. Hundreds of people, but it's okay. You can put it back down. Pray this prayer with me. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I believe that you sent Jesus on the cross to die for me. And I now will live for you. I repent of my sins. I call you my Lord and Savior. I'll read your word. I'll talk to you. Even when I'm bad, I know you want to talk to me. And I'll go to your house. Thank you for dying for me. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, give the Lord a hand for all those people.
Thanks for joining us on our podcast today. We certainly hope it spoke to you in the same way it was speaking to us. If you enjoyed this message today, there's a few things I like to encourage you to do. First of all, subscribing to it. It's really easy to get these Faith Church sermons sent straight to your phone with a notification as soon as they're ready. I mean, you want that, right? Secondly, by sharing with a friend on social media, just like you might share a sale or some great restaurant, we're looking for you to share it with your friends. You never know in your network of friends who really needs this message today. And lastly, before you go, if you'll rate and review this on iTunes, it'll really help us expand our reach, help more people globally. Each time there's a positive rating, this really helps push us in front of more people. So that's what I want you to do. And if you live in the St. Louis area or West Palm Beach, come out and see us at our physical locations. If you don't, make sure you tune in to our church online. It's a real campus at faithchurch.com.